The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
With regard to the Iranians, the president has said unequivocally that he wants to see and he's hopeful for a comprehensive peace agreement that goes beyond even the ceasefire. We're already talking to each other, not just directly, but also through interlocutors. I think that the conversations are promising. We're hopeful that we can have a long-term peace agreement that resurrects Iran, that brings it into the League of Nations, that creates long-term prosperity for Iran.
And we're actually getting along with them very well right now. But had we not succeeded with that hit ended the war. That hit ended the war. I don't want to use an example of Hiroshima. I don't want to use an example of Nagasaki. But that was essentially the same thing. That ended that war. This ended that with the war.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to the intelligence reports saying that the Iranian nuclear sites were only partially devastated, not entirely?
Yeah, well, Iran went down to the site afterwards. They said it's so devastated, and they settled when they saw what we did to it. And frankly, if we didn't do that, they would have had a lot of ammunition to keep going. They wouldn't have settled. Somebody brought that up, and two Iranians went down to see it, and they called back, and they said, this place is gone. So it's just fake news by CNN, which has got no ratings. It's a failed network. This was an unbelievable hit by genius pilots and genius people in the military, and they're not being given credit for it because we have scum that's in this group, and not all of you are. You have some great reporters, but you have scum. CNN is scum. MSDNC is scum. The New York Times is scum. They're bad people. They're sick. And what they've done is they're trying to make this unbelievable victory into something less. Now, even they admit that it was hit very hard, okay? But it wasn't hit hard. It was hit brutally, and it knocked it out. The original word that I use, I guess it got us in trouble because it's a strong word. It was obliteration. And you'll see that.
How dare CNN say that it wasn't obliterated? It was. Absolutely, it was, says Donald Trump. The war is over. We ended it Saturday night. We want peace and prosperity for Iran. We're actually getting along pretty good with the Iranians. Just in a couple of days' time. Now they're our friends, I guess. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Make sure to leave us a thumbs up at Rumble and a nice comment down below. You can email the show as well, TD@TheTrumpet.com. So yesterday we showed you how angry the president of the United States was at Israel primarily. He was cursing on live television. Steve Bannon says it was as angry as he's ever seen him. And what was the source of that anger? Well, Iran kind of broke the terms of the ceasefire, and Israel felt like it had to retaliate. But in that same comment, he said, who drops a load of bombs just hours away from the beginning of the ceasefire? I've never seen anything like what Israel just did. And then Israel was about to retaliate to strike Iran again when they broke the terms of the ceasefire. Iran did. Here's what the president had to say about that. Clip two.
Mr. President, how is the Iran-Israel ceasefire going, in your opinion, at the moment?
I think very good. Israel came back yesterday. I was so proud of them because they came back. You know, they went out because they felt it was a violation. And technically they were right, but it just wouldn't have worked out very well. And they brought the planes back. They had gone on to another journey because it was a little bit of a violation. And I said, you got to get them back. And they came back, and it was a great thing. And it's going very well.
Technically, Israel was right. But the president, I mean, there's a nice way of saying, I'm sure there was, if there's profanity in front of the cameras, I'm sure there was quite a lot of it on the phone call with Bibi Netanyahu. You turn those planes around. I mean, I read the tweets to you yesterday, the president demanding in public that Israel turn those planes around. Bibi released a statement last night in Hebrew. This is addressed to the Israeli people, and he's just describing the success from Israel's point of view of Operation Rising Lion. He quotes Proverbs 24 and verse 6 up front, where it says that, for by wise counsel you shall make your war. They planned and prepared for this. There was, I think, some kind of a 60-day deadline on Iran, and on day 61, Israel went at it. He says here, the surprise opening blow of Rising Lion will go down in the annals of Israel's wars and will be studied by every military in the world. Netanyahu says, for decades, I've promised you that Iran would not have nuclear weapons. And indeed, in all of the swift actions that our soldiers carried out, we sent Iran's nuclear project into oblivion. And if anyone in Iran tries to rebuild this project, we will act with the same determination and the same force to cut off any such attempt. I reiterate, Iran will not have nuclear weapons. He talks previously about just all of the facilities, not just the nuke facilities that the U.S. concentrated on Saturday night, but the leadership, the missile launching sites that really did set Iran back. He says, we attacked dozens of installations of the Iranian nuclear program, including laboratories and factories for producing centrifuges. You certainly remember 7 years ago how in a brilliant Mossad operation, we brought to Israel the heart of Iran's secret nuclear archive. But toward the end, this is what I wanted to focus on. He says, regarding the Iranian regime, we struck crushing blows at this wicked regime. We eliminated many senior commanders. We destroyed command centers. We attacked Revolutionary Guards bases. We attacked Basaj bases. We struck the symbols of the regime. And today, this morning, this would have been yesterday now, just before the ceasefire went into effect, this morning, a few hours before the ceasefire, we struck the Ayatollah's regime with the hardest blow of all since the start of the war, with the hardest blow in its history. We eliminated hundreds of regime operatives in the crushing attack, the most crushing that Tehran has seen in the past 50 years. Now, we'll probably not find out all the details of this crushing attack until it works its way out through leaks and whatever else. But be assured that President Trump knew about this. And that's why he was so angry yesterday morning. Cursing on TV. Cursing Israel, basically. He's never seen, I forget the exact quote from the president yesterday, but he had never seen a bombardment like this. And here's Bibi describing it in some detail, admitting, yes, it was a few hours before the start of the ceasefire. So Saturday night certainly didn't end the war. In many ways, it was Donald Trump pressuring Bibi Netanyahu to end the war. And we touched on this yesterday. Another betrayal. I mean, they had the mullahs on the run. They were going after the Ayatollah's regime. And Donald Trump was screaming from D.C., you better stop. You better leave them intact. You better let them continue. They've been hit hard enough. The war is against the factories, as I said yesterday. Certainly not against the leadership. So how do you think this is going to work out in the end? The Ayatollah survives. The mullahs survive. The hardest what was it that it said again? This was, we struck the Ayatollah's regime with the hardest blow of all since the start of the war. So the heaviest action was not on day 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. It was on day 12. It was after. It was 2 days after the U.S. strike. The war certainly didn't end on Saturday night. But the president of the United States demanded that it end yesterday morning. And he was furious at the fact that Israel was firing away right up to the last minute. And then furious that Israel was about to retaliate. Notice, it was Iran that broke the terms of the ceasefire. And it was Israel that Donald Trump reserved most of his anger and wrath for yesterday morning. It's so easy, isn't it? I mean, Israel's in a very difficult position. They're so isolated and alone in this world, and they know they need American firepower. But look at some of these other hot spots. President Trump, he can't get on the phone and demand that Vladimir Putin stop firing away into Ukraine. And so he says things like, he said it yesterday, he said I had a conversation with Putin. He's a very nice guy. Earlier, he said, what, a fine gentleman. That's the way they talk about our adversaries. But then judging by some of those reports coming out of Jerusalem, there was no nicey-nice talk when President Trump was on the phone with Bibi yesterday morning. He had calmed down a little bit, and now, of course, he's talking about how he's pleased with Israel and that we finally have the ceasefire in place. But where is this leading? Everyone in the world knows that Donald Trump wants to be seen as a peacemaker. He wants to bring peace. He probably wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And so we see the importance here of the negotiation, as I said yesterday. I mean, that's what this man and Witkoff, as you saw there in the cold open, they believe this solves everything in the world. Now we want long-term prosperity for Iran. Everything's done. Everything's over. The war ended. We're moving on. Listen to what Ron Dermer, he's a chief advisor to Bibi Netanyahu, and I think this is an interview that he had recently with Mark Levin, clip 20.
Because what happened in the 1930s did not happen in a vacuum. It was the product of World War I. Of the horrific carnage that took place in World War I when 16 million people were killed and an entire generation of leaders where they were, their main mission was to avoid war at any cost. And when we read the history books in the run-up to World War II, we ask ourselves, why did these leaders not see what was happening? Why didn't they see it? Why did they not hear it? Why did they reject all of the evidence that was right in front of them? And the fact is they didn't want to see it. And they didn't want to hear it because they wanted to avoid war at all costs. And when that's your approach, that you want to avoid any kind of military action at all costs, it led, and this is what happened in the 1930s, it led to the greatest war and carnage in history in World War II, where 60 million, not 16, 60 million people were killed, including 6 million Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust.
That's a pretty important lesson from history. Where does avoid war at any cost get you when the other side is constantly out there chanting death to America? They did it just yesterday in Iran's parliament, or maybe it's today. We were joking with our Jerusalem correspondent about, well, Friday, I'm sure Friday the chants of death to America will continue, will resume. We didn't even have to wait to Friday. It's Wednesday. Death to America, death to Israel, no more UN inspectors. That's what Iran's parliament's doing right now. So avoid war at any cost and then talk about these nice guys that you want to be prosperous? It's delusional. Listen to Witkoff. This is, again, from one of the Fox shows. As he's asked, what exactly has Iran agreed to here? Notice what he says. It's a very important point that he lets out of the bag. Clip 19.
What did Iran actually pledge?
Well, Iran, throughout since this conflict began, we've been talking to them about having some sort of peaceful settlement. And Iran's one caveat has always been that Israel had to stop its campaign.
So the U.S. has been talking to the mullahs throughout the so-called 12-day war. And notice he says there, the one caveat, the one demand of the mullahs for any kind of peaceful discussion talk is that Israel stop firing. Of course. Of course. They love to talk as long as Israel stops their campaign. Then they'll talk to you. Then they'll get into their tactics of, you know, chat here, dialogue here, delay here, violate here, but then get back to the negotiating table. This is what they've been doing for 46 years. This is who we're negotiating with. It's a betrayal. Pure and simple, it's a betrayal. This entire war, just dropped my water, sorry. This entire war has basically been, I mean, even the U.S. strike on Saturday night, it's all meant to help Donald Trump's quest for making peace through negotiation. We've got to avoid war at all costs. Well, Bibi got us into one 2 weeks ago. So in America, not to be outdone by Bibi, certainly not. Donald Trump, he strikes at those facilities Saturday night, and then he comes out and declares it's over, mission impossible. And I'll tell you this, again, I'm kind of reading into some things, but I bet when the war didn't end Saturday night, that too made him especially angry. I'm speaking of Donald Trump, because look, we're big, mighty America. We obliterated these sites. Who do you think you are to carry on with this campaign, Bibi? And he says yesterday at NATO, look, the war ended Saturday night. So that's his story. He's sticking to it. The worst of it for Iran was yesterday morning. That's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. I mean, you think about, again, America's broken will. I mean, just a few years ago, we saw the fake president and this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And as bad as that was, I mean, here we see America empowering the King of the South. I keep mentioning this booklet. This is God's perspective on what's about to happen, not just in the Middle East, but in all the world, what it leads to. Great tribulation, as Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. We're empowering the King of the South. Now, they've taken a brutal hit. But when your objective is to eliminate factories and not this corrupt death cult regime, they're just going to come right back. And so you get to all these conflicting reports about, well, how much damage, what? And then the Trump administration, very sensitive. Who are you, CNN and New York Times, to say that it wasn't total obliteration? We're arguing over the extent of the damage. Well, CNN and the New York Times are reporting on a report that came out of the Defense Department. Now, it was, I guess, leaked. I don't know. But I mean, this is Trump's administration. This is Donald Trump's Defense Department. And we're not exactly big fans of CNN and the New York Times on this show either. But it's not like it's just CNN. I mean, you've got stories in The Telegraph and elsewhere, the Daily Mail. The dust has settled, and now people are beginning to wonder, well, how far has this set them back? And why would they be worried about how far the Iranian regime is set back? With respect to its quest for nuclear weapons, they're worried about it because they're still chanting death to America. Yeah, it's in the Iranian parliament today. Listen to President Trump. We mentioned this point yesterday. I mean, this is all part of these negotiations. Now, I talked about it yesterday based upon what Sundance wrote at his blog, but have since come to find out that this is something that President Trump is out there saying openly. I mean, he tweeted about it yesterday. Play clip 13.
You saw that where 14 missiles were shot at us the other day. And they were very nice. They gave us warning. They said, we're going to shoot them. Is 1 o'clock okay? They said, it's fine. And everybody was emptied off the base, so they couldn't get hurt except for the gunners. They call them the gunners. And out of 14 high-end missiles that were shot at the base in Qatar, all 14, as you know, were shot down by our equipment. Amazing stuff. Amazing that they can do. It's like shooting a bullet with a bullet. It's the same thing if you think about it.
The whole thing was fake. I mean, this is a fake attack. President Trump calls out the news media often for being purveyors of fake news. This whole thing was staged, and I guess there's no problem admitting that. Think about this. America attacked those Iranian nuclear facilities Saturday night. And then the mullahs, they're in constant contact with Witkoff. Okay, that's been made known. Witkoff said it himself. And then they get on the phone with the U.S. and they say, hey, we need to save face. We need to attack a U.S. base, and we're going to do the one in Qatar. Is it all right if we do it at 1 p.m.? What is going on? Are they just playing the United States? I suppose the U.S. Thinks it's playing Iran. This is all part of the unfolding negotiation, you see? Now, we've got to strike back in some form or fashion because you struck at us. What about 1 p.m. on Sunday? What a farce all of this is. This was the Truth Social post. Iran has officially responded to our obliteration of their nuclear facilities with a very weak response, which we expected and have very effectively countered. He says they fired the 14 missiles and so on. I'm pleased to report that no Americans were harmed and hardly any damage was done. Most importantly, they've gotten it all out of their system. They're fine now because they've retaliated. So he's implying that they've changed. And there will hopefully be no further hate. No more hatred now. The bombs dropped Saturday night. The war ended. And now we have peace. I mean, the president's likening this to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's quite a lot different. I mean, that broke the will of the Japanese. They surrendered unconditionally. It was total surrender. And that's what this administration thinks it now has with the mullahs. They got it out of the system. They've stopped hating. They've surrendered. He says, I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice. Who does this in a war? It was totally for show. I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice, which made it possible for no lives to be lost and nobody to be injured. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region, and I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. There's like a moral equivalency here. Look, if you're committed to peace, I'm gonna ask Israel to commit to peace as well. Who's on America's side here? You talk about just being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. As I said yesterday, I mean, Saturday night, you've got this love fest. You know, Bibi and I are working together as a team like no other in history. And then yesterday, 2 days later, he's cursing them out on television. And then he says this about Iran. Look, we can proceed now with peace and harmony. I'll encourage Israel to do the same thing. Yesterday, I gave you that other post where he talked about the sanctions being lifted on Iran. China can now continue to purchase oil from Iran. Hopefully, they will be purchasing plenty from the U.S. also. It was my great honor to make this happen. It was my great honor to lift these sanctions. I mean, look, all through this war, we've been talking with them. We've been making progress. We're very pleased. These are our friends now. The war is over. The hatred is gone. You know, I told my wife this morning, you look at Isaiah 3, just how childish this reasoning is. I mean, Ron Dermer gave us a nice warning there. Avoid war at all cost. Avoid war. That's the objective here. Avoiding war in the 1930s led to the worst war in history in the 1940s. That's a pretty powerful lesson. Sundance at Conservative Treehouse, he says that President Trump outwitted Bibi Netanyahu. Outwitted him. So Bibi's the problem, I guess. You see there? I mean, they're gloating. The Steve Bannon crowd. Bibi's finally been exposed. President Trump outwitted him. No, I think President Trump threatened him in some form or fashion. Again, as I said, Israel's in a very difficult position. They need American support. And even in that statement he made in Hebrew, Netanyahu profusely praised Donald Trump. That's what he's saying in public. He has to. Whereas the president can pop off like he did yesterday morning and then kind of waffle and go back and forth. But, you know, there's the moral equivalency. I mean, let me just read it to you again. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region, and I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. This is dangerous. When you start cozying up to all of these enemies, Israel's been, as my father said in that betrayal article 2-3 months ago, Israel has been America's strongest ally in the region. And you see that relationship. It's unraveling. It's unraveling right before our eyes. And now we're talking about the people of Qatar, UAE, certainly Iran. They're friends. They're partners. We want prosperity and peace for them. We want them to sell oil. We want them to make a lot of money. And we're glad that the hate is gone. Listen to this CNN report from 2021. I mean, this is a radical left-winger. She was made infamous a couple years later when I forget who it was, some ISIS guy. She bragged about getting a guy out of prison in Syria, and it turned out to be totally fake and staged. You see that a lot with CNN. I played last week the clip of the CNN guy going into Tehran. They love CNN. That's like their propaganda arm. That's true. Listen to this, though, from 3 years ago. It's about, she's talking about the Taliban here. This is clip 14.
Everything is under control. Everything will be fine, the commander says. Nobody should worry. People come up to them to pose for photographs.
Just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
They're chanting death to America, but they seem friendly. Now, it's easy to mock someone like this. Like, what are you thinking? Of course, anyone, even a madman, can. Hitler probably said some nice things here and there. I imagine the discussion with Chamberlain was, you know, relatively cordial. But look at what they do. These people are blind. And the reason I wanted to show you this is because, you know, as easy as it is to make fun of CNN, what the Trump administration is doing right now, spearheaded by Witkoff, is essentially the same thing. They're chanting death to America, but, you know, they seem like they're kind of nice. They seem like they're friendly. This is the way we're talking about our enemies now. Listen to what the president said yesterday about Vladimir Putin, clip 4.
See, I mean, I've spoken to Putin a lot, and he actually was very nice. He volunteered help on, as you know, on Iran. I said, no, I don't need help on Iran. I need help on Russia. Okay? I said, do me a favor. Help us on Russia, not on Iran. But he was very nice. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk. I think progress is being made. I think great progress is being made on Gaza. I think because of this attack that we made, I think we're going to have some very good news. I was talking to Steve Witkoff, who, by the way, is terrific, and who knows more about this subject than anybody, the subject of what we were just talking about. He was on last night with Jesse and with Laura and with Sean. And boy, he has a, Susie, he has a great take on it. He just explains it so easily. He's really very knowledgeable. But he did tell me that Gaza is very close.
So Gaza's doing better. I mean, we're reaching out to all of the terrorists. And he said twice there, Putin's nice. He's a nice guy. But a couple of our researchers have been digging into the example of Balaam in the Book of Numbers. And the lesson about not reaching out or compromising with evildoers. I mean, one of the central lessons of the Bible is that you have to blot out sin. You have to blot out evil, or else evil's going to blot you out. Doing a deal with the devil, as my father said in that article, in that Key of David program from January. I played a clip from that yesterday. First, though, let's listen to this from Jesse Waters, clip 12.
So we're dropping 30,000-pound bombs on our enemy, and the only ones saying we didn't make a dent are Iran and CNN. CNN's just parroting enemy propaganda. They're saying the people who chant death to America are mostly peaceful.
I remember, Dan, at one point being in Tehran years ago, and they're chanting death to America all around me, even as I say, oh, I'm an American reporting for CNN, and they were happy to speak to me. So that those two sort of jarring realities of the chant and yet the friendliness have existed together.
Here again, it's easy to mock them, and Jesse's doing it right there, saying that, you know, how can you trust CNN when they question the obliteration of the factories? These are the same people that say the people chanting death to America, that they're actually friendly, that they love us. Well, but that's the thinking of this administration. We got to be honest. Witkoff was talking to the mullahs all through the campaign. 12 days, the negotiations continued. Now we're really close to, we're close. We were told in January the hostages are coming back on day one. And now we're told we're really close to a breakthrough with Hamas. The discussions continue, the dialogue. But coming back to these reports, why so much sensitivity about the extent of the damage? Well, because the narrative is the war ended Saturday night. It's over. Here's President Trump with Pete Hegseth yesterday, clip 7.
How long do you think that the Iranian nuclear program has been put back by these strikes? Years or totally literal?
I think basically decades, because I don't think they'll ever do it again. I just don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to take their oil, they're going to have some missiles, and they'll have some defense. I think they've had it. I mean, they just went through. I think they've had it. The last thing they want to do is enrich.
Wow. They've had it. They won't rebuild it. And the last thing they want to do is enrich uranium. That is quite an assurance. It's not a true one. Again, look at history. Let history be our guide. This is avoid war at any cost mentality. That's what we're seeing. Carolyn Leavitt, she's the spokesman for the White House. Everyone knows what happens when you drop 30,000-pound bombs perfectly on their targets. Total obliteration. Listen, just take our word for it. Now, this CNN report, it's based on a report that came out of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon's intelligence arm. It's based on a battle damage assessment conducted by U.S. Central Command in the aftermath of the U.S. strikes. So it's not like CNN, or I can't believe I'm defending CNN. It's not like CNN just made this up. Now, maybe it's skewing it. That's something that happens almost in every article produced by CNN. Maybe there's bias top to bottom. And I don't know about the leaker. And I don't know if the person producing this report is a left winger. I mean, there's a lot of things about the story that we don't know. But as I say, this is, it's not like this is the only report questioning the extent of the damage. Israel, for its part, knew that when they agreed to the terms of the ceasefire, they had 12 hours to probably make the biggest hit of the entire 12-day war. They knew the job wasn't finished. They knew mission wasn't accomplished. It says here the Israeli assessment of the impact. So there's the U.S. Central Command report. And then further on, it says the Israeli assessment of the impact of the U.S. strikes also found less damage on Fordo than expected. What? Israel too? However, Israeli officials believe the combination of U.S. and Israeli military action on multiple nuclear sites set back the Iranian nuclear program by 2 years. So some have said 3-4 months. Israel thinks it's 2 years. But all of this effort, all of these bombs, 30,000-pound bombs, and it sets the mullahs back just 2 years? And then you've got President Trump there at the NATO meeting yesterday saying they've had it. The last thing they want to do is enrich. They're eager to talk now. So long as Israel stops firing, they are so eager to talk. They are excited about dialogue. Listen to this. This is Donald Trump again speaking at that NATO summit, clip 3.
What is your response to the Iranian foreign minister continuing to say Iran will enrich uranium and pursue nuclear weapons?
Well, I don't know if they've said that, but I'll tell you the last thing they want to do is enrich anything right now. They want to recover. And we won't let that happen, number one. Militarily, we won't. I think we'll end up having somewhat of a relationship with Iran. I see it. Look, I've had a relationship over the last 4 days. They agreed to the ceasefire. And it was a very equal agreement. They both said, that's enough. They both said it. But no, they won't do that. The last thing they want to do, Katie, is enrich. They're not looking to... They're not. Can you imagine after all of that, they're going to say, oh, let's go and do a bomb. There could be a day in the future. Well, and then somebody else taking our place will be saying, don't do it. And maybe they won't do it as well. I don't know. But they're not going to have a bomb and they're not going to enrich. And we believe all of the stuff is down there. We don't think they had nearly the time, because to get that out is a very difficult thing. It's not like moving a package or taking this carpet up and moving it. It's very difficult. It's very dangerous to do. We believe it's all down there. We had a tremendous victory, a tremendous hit. And because of that, I don't think they would have been down there, because they knew we were coming. When they know we're coming, they're not going to be down in that, 30 stories underground. So I think it was just a tremendous victory for everybody, including Iran. Look, they've got a country. And they've got oil, and they're very smart people, and they can come back.
I just noticed there that he said they knew we were coming. I don't know if that's sort of a similar arrangement, like with the bombing of the base at Qatar. Because all through last week, President Trump was we've read articles about how there was a kind of a smokescreen here, and they had the B-2 bombers heading off toward Guam, and then the others peeled away and so on to make it a surprise attack. But he said there at the end, they wouldn't be 30 stories down trying to save the uranium, because they knew we were coming. But before all of that, he talks about, we're having a relationship with them now. I've had a 4-day relationship with them. I see this as a positive development. Notice the reporter prefaced everything by saying, what do you think about the foreign minister of Iran saying that Iran will continue to enrich uranium? Well, nah, that's the last thing they wanted. So he does not believe what the mullahs, or in this case, the foreign minister, is telling him. Just can't believe it. Listen to the Iranian parliament. This is clip 15. death, death, death to America, death to Israel. And you know what they were passing in Parliament? It was a bill to suspend cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Association, the IAEA, the UN agency that monitors the nuclear weapons program. Parliament suspends the relationship with the UN. And then what? Well, they start chanting death to America. Of course. This is what they do. Then the foreign minister comes out and says, yeah, we're going to continue enriching uranium. And yet Israelite nations led by the United States, they listen to all this. They see all of this. And what do they say? They say things like, I think we're right on the brink of peace and prosperity. I have a good relation. These are nice guys. It's really kind of stunning to watch this. In the Telegraph, it says, when the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency asked Iran to explain what was happening deep underneath Pickaxe Mountain, this is in Iran, the reply was short and sharp. It's none of your business. Before the strike, 16 lorries were seen queuing up outside Fordow, and an expert, remember the picture? All of these trucks lining up to just outside of Fordow. Maybe they knew the hit was coming. Maybe Witkoff tipped them off. We knew the hit was coming on the base in Qatar. I mean, this is really, this is like it's some Hollywood movie almost. Just some kind of fiction. And yet it's actually happening. 16 trucks were seen queuing up outside Fordow, and an expert on Iran's nuclear program told the Telegraph the regime had moved much of its highly enriched uranium to a secret location before the U.S. was able to bomb its facilities. This is the Daily Telegraph. This isn't CNN. This isn't the New York Times. It says here, Tehran has hidden sites housing hundreds, if not thousands, of advanced centrifuges capable of producing weapons-grade uranium needed for a nuclear bomb, said Seema Shein, who has worked within the Israeli military establishment for 30 years. And then it says that this Pickaxe Mountain may be the perfect hiding place. It's 90 miles south of Fordow. Says after devastating strikes, Iran's potential backup plan may lie in the ultra-secure facility that satellite imagery shows has been secretly expanded with new fortifications around what appears to be a uranium enrichment site. It says while Fordow is described as the crown jewels of Iran's nuclear enrichment program, Pickaxe's size and depth suggests facilities with significant enrichment capacity that could rival or exceed the damaged underground plant. Fordow has two tunnel entrances, but Pickaxe Mountain has at least four, two on the eastern side of the mountain and two on the west. More importantly, its underground chambers extend even deeper, potentially beyond 100 meters beneath the surface compared with Fordow's 60 to 90 meter depth. Is the King of the South gone? Is there this unbreakable alliance between the United States and Israel? No, there's actually betrayal happening. And the King of the South, the mullahs, survived. They survived the hit. And no amount of commentary, no amount of strongly worded statements about the war's over, we're moving on, it's time for peace and prosperity, is going to take away from the fact that this is just one more massive step toward a greater war. Avoid war at all cost now, but what happens in the future? Listen to Larry Kudlow along with Newt Gingrich on Fox Business, clip 16.
I think you and I agree there's more to be done. The Iranian story is obliterating the nuclear weapons, as best we know. But, you know, they still haven't taken back death to Israel or death to America. It's still a police state, and it still doesn't have any rights for its citizenry. I mean, there's more work to be done. I'm not
None of us understand what the agreement's going to be. Are we going to have full inspection rights without any kind of impediment? Are they going to concede no nuclear weapons and no strategic missiles? Are they going to concede no funding for terrorism? I mean, there's a long way from where we are right now to a sustainable future in the Middle East. And the record of this theocratic dictatorship has been very, very bad. And I think it's important to see how the next week or 2 weeks play out and whether or not, in fact, what President Trump has said all along, no nuclear weapons in Iran. Can we really believe that will happen with this dictatorship? And is there a way to get an agreement so enforceable that we know we're not going to be cheated on?
That's Kudlow and Gingrich pointing out what's been obvious for 46 years. It's still a police state. It's still an Islamist dictatorship. Radical Islam runs the nation. Like I said yesterday, I mean, how do you win the war if you don't defeat the radical ideology? Well, you just go to war against the factories, and we haven't even hit all of them, evidently, if the Telegraph is right. I mean, that was quite a lot of detail in the Telegraph. You know, four entrances, two on this side. It goes down deep, 100 meters. 16 trucks show up at Fordow before the strike on Saturday night. What is going on? And then the declarations. So confident. Everything is over. The war has ended. We've got peace in our time. Peace and prosperity for every nation, including the mullahs. Listen again to, this is Lindsey Graham. We don't often agree with many things he says, but this is him commenting on the situation in Iran, clip 10.
President Trump said a ceasefire will allow Iran and the region to live in peace and harmony. There can be no peace between Iran and Israel until Iran decides to change her policy, which is the regime policy of destroying the state of Israel and killing all the Jews. Until that changes, nothing really changes. The program has been decimated, but the people who are in charge will come right back at Israel. So I'm looking for regime change in this sense, for Iran to abandon its desire to destroy Israel, to recognize Israel's right to exist as a nation. That, to me, is not too much to ask of the Iranians.
Well, I mean, if you take a look at the history of the last 46 years, it might be too much to ask the theocracy that runs the country with the help of the IRGC.
Well, what I'm advocating is for Israel not to be required to go into a room of fanatical religious Nazis and negotiate with them. And no matter what they do, the people across the table are going to kill them anyway. That's not fair to the people of Israel. Mm-mm. That's not fair to the world at large.
You can see why Israel unloaded on Iran yesterday morning. Look, we've only got a few hours left before the ceasefire is in place. I mean, that's not a sign that Israel was, you know, super excited about this deal, this ceasefire. Instead, it suggests that we better hurry. We've got to take out more targets. This job is unfinished. And we're being forced to retreat, just like they are in Gaza as well. Hamas survives. The mullahs survive for yet another round of war. And when will it come? When will it be? I've mentioned this article from the March issue of the Trumpet magazine, President Trump Betrayed Israel. It's based upon the show that my father did on January 31st earlier this year. Skip ahead to number 22 from that Key of David.
Here's just another short paragraph from Melanie Phillips. Trump doesn't want a war on his watch. He has virtually promised the American people that he will bring an end to war. But sometimes an enemy arises with whom any agreement is a deal with the devil. That's right. Sometimes you just have to fight or be captives of evil people. Trump is dealing with the devil, according to Melanie Phillips, and not God. I'll add that.
Not God. That's another pretty big lesson that God's trying to teach us. Where is God in all of this nonstop negotiation and dialogue and bombs and hostages? The world's about to explode. And the leaders of Israelite nations, except for little Judah, are working to avoid war now at any cost. At any cost. And we'll see how long that strategy works. We want to save a few minutes because we've got more feedback coming this time from Manchester, England, in the heart of England. And that goes for about 4 minutes, so we'll take you a little bit over on today's show, but we won't charge you for that extra minute. Be reminded, too, that tomorrow night, Thursday night, the show is in Liverpool, England. So another Celtic Throne 2 performance tomorrow evening. For now, though, we'll end today's show with feedback from Manchester. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, great show. Really enjoying it. It's brilliant.
So I think the performance is fantastic.
I think it's absolutely amazing. I think it's so slick, so polished, and it's very entertaining.
I picked this up on Facebook, and I'm here tonight, and it's thrilling, I think is the best way to describe it. It stands at the side of Lord of the Dance and Riverdance, its equal partner.
Hi, absolutely amazing show. Best show I've been to for a long time, and I go to the theatre 3 times a week. Ace.
I thought it was fantastic, thank actually. You. Yeah, it was brilliant. My mum is from Ireland, so yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
I thought it was amazing, yeah. Really, really loved watching it. I'm an Irish family, so yeah, it was great to see it.
It was absolutely amazing, honestly. What a great night. So talented, absolutely. Everybody was so talented. Yeah. Can't wait for the next one.
Absolutely fantastic. I'd recommend anybody to come see it.
You smashed it. You smashed it. It's great that a family, a big family, and what we're here. You're traveling together, and what I wanted to say, and I said today to the dancers, the joy, the happiness and the joy that Ashley can see from the stage. You felt it? It's like a family having a great gathering together of dancing and celebration. So really, really thank you for filling up our hearts and souls with the music and the visuals.
Thank you.
Great show. Family were fantastic and very, very talented. And obviously proud of their rich heritage.
Really, really enjoyed the dancing. I mean, the precision was just incredible. Really loved it.
No, this was amazing. I mean, it was one of the most spectacular shows I've seen in recent times. And I've seen Riverdance 10 years ago. It's a totally different ballgame now with light, sound, and the wonderful talent of the both the boys, girls, and the men and women. Fantastic. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a dream come true. Absolutely. And I think everyone should see this from far and wide. If you come and watch this, it's a must. It's a must.
It was amazing. Amazing performance. I love it because small children, and you know, I'm sorry, maybe it's not very good. I'm Polish. And it's lovely, 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 and you know, and everybody here after performance. It's good.
If you've not seen this show, you've got to come because you'll be so disappointed.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Very, very professional. The sound, the lighting, dance, all excellent. And I think the fact that they were all family made it even better. You could see how wonderful it was and how hard everything was. Yeah. And it was beautiful and professional. Not slick, but real. Beautiful. Yeah.
epic. Loved every single minute of the show. I went to Dublin to watch the river dance myself, and I didn't expect that this is as good as the river dance. I just absolutely loved it. Okay. And next year, if you come back, I'll definitely bring my family to watch at the same time. So, I mean, I didn't know what to expect. So that's why I'm here on my own. But because I know you're so good, next time I'll bring my family here.
Fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Filled up a few times with the little ones as well. But yeah. Really talented group of people, yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you.
We're coming back again on Sunday to leave.